Welcome to the Insane Asylum.
And welcome back to the Insane Asylum. This is the Night of Living Dreads podcast. The podcast covers all and anything horror. And the Insane Asylum is not haunted, just so you know.
You never know.
We're going to talk about one tonight. we're going to talk about a couple plays tonight. But I am Otis B. Dreads. Got Mrs. Dreads here riding shotgun, the co-pilot seat. That's right, we're going to talk some paranormal. I've become very, very skeptical. I mean, very, very skeptical to the point where I don't even know if I believe in the whole paranormal thing, because I've seen a lot of compelling evidence, which we'll get to. But first, we got to give out some horror love. Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. They got an open group. They got a closed group. You may, you know, be taken into the woods for the closed group to be sacrificed or made to sacrifice small farm animals. I'm kidding. Three simple questions get you into the best damn horror group on Facebook. We also have Misfit Horror Fiend Club. And a lot of good people over there. You like the Misfits? The band? Do you like the Misfits, Jody?
I like some of their songs. Yeah.
You like more Danzig than you do the Misfits, don't you?
No, not really.
Not really? Really? It's the other way around?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's why you're a member over there. Misfit Horror Fiend Club. We also have After Dark, as I've mentioned. They do a lot of watch parties over there, a lot of movies I haven't seen still. Because I really don't, you know, sit and... It's hard for me to sit in a, you know, a chair and watch shit, you know, on my computer. Hurts my eyes, gives me a headache. And do it on TV. And debuting tonight, a new shout-out, Jody.
Yeah.
That's right. The Slaughterhouse. Slaughter on, Wayne. Slaughter on, Garth. The Slaughterhouse. I just became a member over there, and which is another horror group, obviously, if the name didn't give it away, that is allowing us, Mrs. Dredge, to take and post this podcast over there every week. So I told them I'd give them some horror love, and we got one more, Cannabis Arcade. You like the pot and you like the laugh? This is the place for you. Cannabis spelled with a K. So that gives a little love rundown. Oh, I got a feeling that some people that I have talked to over there in Gorehounds and all the other, you know, groups, you know, that I've mentioned and some that I haven't. I've talked like I do believe. Actually, maybe that has been the fact that I want to believe. Because as doing some research for this podcast, it is pretty, you know, a lot of people, you know, they want to believe in ghosts because it means that in a sense they will never die. They will still be able to have contact with their loved ones, you know. So it gives, I think, almost a sense of immortality.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're not here like we are now. In a physical form, in a flesh and blood and bones and guts form. But, you know, I think we want to believe in the fact that, you know, ghosts are real. Because it does, you know, give us a little hope that when we die, we don't really die. I mean, Patrick Swayze did such a good job, you know, trying to put that into our heads with the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, it's his, you know, his old lady, you know, making the clay pot, that infamous scene. So, I mean, what do you think? Do you want to believe, or where does Mrs. Dredge lay on the whole believer or not believer?
When it comes to all the haunted places and stuff that are out there, I'm kind of, like we've talked before, I'm kind of skeptical about maybe some of them. or even all of them, that it could be, like you said, a money-making scheme or
right.
something, because you go and you play and pay a tremendous amount of money to
a lot of
go
places,
in and
yeah.
investigate these places to do private investigations, and then yet you don't see anything.
A lot of times walk out of there knowing
right.
no more than you do when you walked in.
I mean, in the little stuff that does happen, you can... There can be an explanation.
Sure.
Do I fully not believe? Mm. No.
Now, going back to what I was just saying, what makes you want to believe that there are possibly this supernatural realm out there? Is it that maybe you could talk to a loved one that has passed on? Because I think that plays a little bit with why people believe. In that sense,
I mean, I agree with that, but no, I don't think for me it is, because I mean, there's not really anybody that I
wow.
I mean, there's people that I miss that have passed on and
sure.
stuff, but I mean, you also hear too that some of these things isn't just like every spirit or every soul lives on,
right?
Because I mean, if you believe in the afterlife and stuff, then you got everybody's souls
right
cross over,
right? Exactly.
Because
that I mean, if it was that every person that died, their soul just wanders around, do you know that on the average there's 150,000 deaths per day?
Yeah.
We would all have like a little entourage of spirits and ghosts following us everywhere. I mean, they would just be everywhere. You would not be able to go to anywhere without being able to find some form of a ghost or see an apparition or a shadow person or whatever.
Because everybody has an attachment to some place or something or someone.
Sure.
So, yeah, it'd be a... But
that would just be a big old clusterfuck if everybody that died, you know, just their souls just roaming around.
Or their souls clung onto somebody else.
Oh, man. Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about a couple places. One is here in Ohio, in Belmont, Ohio, called the Belair House. And it's not Bel Air. It's the B-E-L-L-A-I-R, all one word. And... This is a... We were watching some stuff last night of these investigators, and I think the word of the night was sensationalism.
Yeah.
Because I seen a lot of sensationalizing of, oh, did you hear that? And me and you both look at each other like, did you hear that? Did you hear what they were talking about? And, you know, they would have their equipment going, and which, you know, we'll talk briefly about some of the equipment. You know, the EVPs that bounce between AM, FM, I think it's the EVPs, or spirit box.
Yeah, spirit box.
That take and, you know, bounce between frequencies very, very rapidly, AM, FM frequencies, to create a white noise, which is supposed to help any kind of spirits or ghosts or whatever to take and communicate through. And a lot of times, in fact, I played one.
Right.
It was episode 28, I believe. It that seemed weird because, you know, a lot of times you listen to it and you can almost hear like a commercial on the radio, or, you know, you can almost hear like a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that are said that I've seen that we saw last night are not answers that are direct to the question that was maybe asked.
Right.
You ask, what's your name? And then, you'll hear... You know, spaghetti.
Yeah.
We've been watching a lot of BuzzFeed Unsolved with Ryan and the Shaniac, and they're pretty funny. Shane, you know, has that very skeptical. He does not believe in ghosts. One said, what was it? Apple something. I don't know. It was just, you know, just way out there. They were not answering anything directly to the questions that, you know, were asked. So... That you can maybe blame on, well, it picked up part of a radio program.
Right.
So, you know, that's, I'm a little skeptical on that.
I mean, my thing about with the Belair House and stuff, I mean, I would never call somebody a liar or
right.
say that they're making up information sure. and stuff. Because people have done interviews with the person who actually owns the house.
Blair, yeah, Kristen Lee.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, she's had experiences there, too, that, yeah, they're hard to explain on how these things would happen. And it wasn't ever a ghost. They don't say that that house is...
It's actually demonic.
Demons.
Yeah. With the Blair house, it is not what you'd call, you know, just your friendly little apparition, you know. I mean, it's not a shadow person, you know, which they do. She does claim in one incident.
Yeah,
the dog throwing incident that she did see, you know, some sort of, you know, black mass coming towards her. But the Blair house is said to be haunted by something more demonic.
Yeah, that it's out to hurt you.
There's nothing nice about it.
They couldn't keep people in there. I mean, mm-hmm. nobody, and not because of them knowing the backstory with going in.
Right.
Just because of stuff that's happened to them while they were in the house.
And, like you said, you know, and like it was mentioned on the Unsolved, I think Shane mentioned it. He was like, you know, I do not believe her. You know, he just don't believe in any kind of ghost or demons right. or anything. But he believes that what she saw, she believes she saw.
Right.
Because her story was very convincing. At some point, she seemed a little rattled, you know, even talking about it. And I've had experiences.
Her son had experiences yes. in the house, too.
Yes. And like you mentioned, several families, you know, move in, and she tried renting the place.
She tried to sell it to the city for a dollar.
Yeah, tried to sell it to the village of Blair. For $1, they refused to buy the house.
Yeah.
So there seems to be an aura about this house. Well, it was built in the early 1900s by a coal miner owner by the name of Jacob Hetherington. And he had owned several coal mines. Excuse me. There's said to be one actually underneath the house mm-hmm. that there was a coal mining accident. I think like 72 workers died down there. They sent two rescue workers down there. They also died. So there's some death associated, just like in the Poltergeist. Come to the light.
There's catacombs.
There's catacombs that go actually underneath the village, all the way to the Ohio River. Because where this house sits, if you look out the front window or the front porch mm-hmm. and you look straight out, there's your Ohio River. Behind you, there's said to be a native burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like what was said, in Poltergeist, but that was under the house, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also built on what they call a ley line, which on these ley lines, I guess there's a whole lot of energy and lots of people say, you know, paranormal activity because of the energy. And whatnot on these ley lines, you know, that, which all around the globe. So far you got, you know, 74 deaths that happened underneath the house. It's built on a ley line. There's, you know, a native burial ground right behind it. It's a setup for, you know, a good Poltergeist type movie.
But yeah, because you think about it, a ley line is emitting electricity.
Right, it's a lot of electromagnetic.
You figure that could mess up quite a bit of equipment.
And it does. In fact, watching an investigation, I think it was at the place we're going to talk about after the Blair house. There was a huge thunderstorm and lightning storm, which mm-hmm. they were worried was going to affect their equipment. And they get, like, false positives or something. So, as I mentioned, several families moved in, moved out, because she did try to rent it.
Mm-hmm.
She bought the house. She soon moved out.
She lived there for what? Only a couple of years.
It wasn't long, and most families did not live there long at all. One family stayed, I think, about a year and broke their lease. Mm-hmm. It was within a year, and they broke their lease. And some of them moved out. I don't know if it was this particular family, but some of them moved out in the middle of the fucking night. I mean, just running for the hills. Never to talk about the house or anything else. Now, when Kristen lived there, she had some weird type things happening to her up in her bedroom. She was laying there. This story I contribute to sleep paralysis. Because she said she was laying there. She was woken up. She could not move, which, again, could be attributed to sleep paralysis, which is scientific.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no paranormal about that. This does happen. You say about roughly 8% of people experience this once, maybe twice in their lifetime.
It's like your mind wakes up, but your body don't.
Exactly. You get in that REM. Your body is still paralyzed to protect you and maybe anybody else sleeping in the bed with you, so you don't act out your dreams. So it's a you know, a protection type deal mm-hmm. that your mind does. So she says that, you know, she is awoken and she can't move. She sees a black figure. Okay, I don't think she described it as like a person, just a black mass mm-hmm. coming towards her, and said her dog had, you know, was up on her or by her. His claws were digging into her side. He you know, this dog was Bella, I believe her mm-hmm. the dog's name was. It was very, you know, taken back, has seen something, that sensed something. Dog all of a sudden is picked up and thrown up across the fucking room.
Who's to say that because of the dog not digging into her that she just didn't knock the shit out of it and knock it across the room?
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, she could have been in a literal sleep state. She yeah. could have still been dreaming and not fully awake. Even though, and I have had an instance of sleep paralysis, which I've mentioned on the podcast before, and you feel like you're fully awake.
Right.
The problem is you may not be. You may not be. You may still be partially in that dream state. So what you're seeing is literally just an hallucination in your mind that mm-hmm. you're still dreaming.
Right.
So she could have dreamt that, you know, Bella went flying across the room. I think it's plausible. I'm not saying because nobody can tell me that I didn't see what I saw when I was 8, 9 years old.
Right.
And didn't feel that. But that doesn't mean that ghosts are real. It doesn't mean that there is an evil presence there. No, it means that I was, you know, I was dealing with sleep paralysis and was hallucinating, was, you know, still dreaming. So, you know, that's kind of where I, you know, stand with that. But this house, oh, it also states Jacob Hetherington, he ended up dying, I think it was about 1904, not long after the house was built.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what he died from, and then maybe this was, you know, a forethought, I'm going to give this house to my granddaughter, which he does. And she ended up dying of a heart attack in 1947. Now, Brother Edwin, which is one of the spirits that is said to roam this house, to haunt, to freak people mm-hmm. out, it was her brother. And what he did was he was just so taken back by the death of his sister that he got some mediums in there to try and contact her so, you know, he could talk to her and whatnot. Legend states, folklore, I guess you could say, states that he opened up some kind of a fucking portal. A portal to hell. Now, in this house, I believe it is in the basement, you can see where there was a hole that mm-hmm. goes down into the ground. It's like partly covered and whatnot, but some say that is like the portal to hell where all the demons come through.
Right.
It looks like a very interesting place to go and visit. I made up a new term. I am a paranormal agnostic. I don't disbelieve or believe
right
in what's going on. I'm kind of a factual kind of guy. I will put science on it. I want to see it with my own eyes. I want to experience it, and then with that experience, you know, determine what are some logical reasons this could have happened.
Right.
Now, going back to that episode that did about Hillview Manor, And I played a little clip that our good friend Dominic recorded. The thing with that has me a little baffled is you were the only female in this whole investigation team.
Right.
And we were not down there with him. We were waiting for our friend to come in from out of state. And with his spirit box, being that it bounces back and forth real fast between AM, FM frequencies to create that white noise, like I mentioned, a lot of times you'll pick up something from a radio station. Okay. Now, what he picked up was a woman's voice saying, fuck. Now, we all know the FCC isn't going to allow that.
Right.
That's not something you are going to, you know, scan through your radio and pick up somebody saying, fuck.
Right.
That's not going to happen. So that's what kept me kind of, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Where did that come from? But I want to rent this place. I would love to be able to rent this place and live in it. You would not live in the Blair house?
Yeah, I would.
I don't think Kristen has mentioned, you know, this is not a, you know, it's deemed unsafe.
Yeah.
And
the village deemed it unsafe.
The village deemed it unsafe
to live in.
To let anyone occupy it in any kind of living fashion. Which, you know, it's a damn shame. Cuz I would love to go. I would love to live there. I'm scared. Because, you know,
a tornado comes along.
Huh?
Till a tornado comes along.
Well, a tornado is a real force of fucking nature.
And you gotta go down in that basement.
I'd just leave the fucking house. Now, I would love to visit this place. Not far. Yeah. I think we figured it's about 3 hours from where this insane asylum is. So, that's one that I thought was pretty interesting. We actually did watch, you know, some investigations, and they didn't catch anything that, you know, uh-oh, bless you.
Thank you.
Oh, man, listen to us, boy. We didn't see much in the way of evidence through any of the investigation teams that we watched at the Blair house. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't catch really a whole lot at Hillview.
No.
So can we say that it is haunted? It's not haunted? I don't think we can, because we are only there for, you know, a certain amount of hours. I think if you're really going to, you know, try and truly investigate.
You have to have good equipment, too.
Well, good equipment, and I think a prolonged stay is in order. But anyway, let's move on to the next place that we're going to talk about. Rolling Hills Asylum, which is in Bethany, New York, I believe. Probably upstate New York. It looks like an upstate kind of place. This was, again, an asylum. Unlike the insane asylum. And it was also named the Genesee County Poor Farm. You know what a poor farm is? Remember, did your mom ever tell you, you're taking me to the poor farm? Or the poor house. Yeah, the poor house.
Yeah, because it's kind of like the same thing that, is it Hillview?
Yes. Yeah. Hillview was considered a poor house as well. Where, and for those who don't know what a poor farm or a poor house is, virtually the same thing. And what they would do is they would house, when they first started, it opened in 1827, January 1st. It was a government-run facility to help people that were very needy. This included orphans, the whole entire families.
Right.
Whether you didn't have enough money, you didn't have this. But what they would do, the government would make the decision. Okay, we deem you needy.
Right.
Even though the person next to you is needy too, they may not get shit. You, on the other hand, we'll give you something to keep you out of this place. The ones they didn't help, boom, you're locked away.
Right.
But yeah, orphans, just entire families, the mentally ill, the elderly, physically handicapped or disabled, criminals, and just all-out vagrants.
You figure it's kind of like what we consider today as being homeless shelters.
In a sense, yeah. In a sense. But, yeah, they have, you know, a hell of a lot more, you know, different occupants and residents than just homeless people.
Right.
Well, along with the homeless people, you probably find a lot of mental illness, mm-hmm. In homeless, in the homeless community. But this place, you know, would just gather all these people. It's the owner states that, you know, there could have been, you know, upwards to, and Sharon Coyle, I should say, now is the current owner.
Mm-hmm.
The doors closed in 74. Not sure when she bought it. I didn't jot that down in my notes, but it said that there is at least 1,700 documented deaths that happened.
She said it was like three. She thinks it maybe have been three times that
three
amount.
Times that amount, because the bookkeeping and keeping of the documents throughout its existence and being open were kind of spotty, she said. Yeah, they weren't really not like we would keep records now, or even, you know, back in 74. I lost my place. But before closing in 74, like we've seen with a lot of other places, they turned it into pretty much a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, they just pretty much, you know, said, nah, we're just taking care of old people. But what did happen in 1887, just about 60 years after its doors opened, the Genesee County Board of Supervisors decided that people with quote-unquote active or acute insanity, whatever that means, they should be housed in another location.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't be around anybody else. And so let's talk, you know, a little bit about some of the things that people claim that they have seen there and the people that they meet. Emma is one of them. She was a former nurse. And it said that, you know, they say that most of the spirits that are in Rolling Hills are actually pretty friendly.
Yeah.
And if you call out for help, you can get them to appear.
When you get the most activity.
Right, when you call out for help, because they're very helpful. And she appears in the room that she stayed in. I guess a lot of them were live-in nurses and, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. So, Emma is one. We have the screaming lady, which some say was possibly the first resident. There's not a whole, you know, lot that they know about this. There's been artist renditions of people drawing what they've seen,
mm-hmm.
As far as the screaming lady, and it's just a you know, a scream that they hear, almost, I guess, banshee style or whatnot. Roy Krause was a 7'6" tall guy. And that is said to be the most favorite apparition of them all, because he's a very friendly guy. Now, this next story, as I have in my notes, called the Rat Story, comes from Sharon, the owner. She said that she was in a, the hallway or something. She was startled, turned around, she's seen a rat run away. Now, when she walked to a certain part of this hallway, she's seen a puddle of blood that was in the shape of this rat. I mean, the tail and all. And right behind, right, you know, where that blood was, there's a wall right there close, right, pretty much right behind this. And up on the wall was just this huge blood hand that was on the wall. Now, for such a friendly guy, her conclusion is that was Roy who killed this, you know, fucking rat.
Maybe because of the rat.
And not only that, but she said there was these, they were holes, or they were just, you know, indentations or something that she said resembled a very large foot that looked like it kicked the wall. So she believes that, you know, Roy killed this rat. As because the rat scared her, and he's friendly, just wants to help, and didn't want her to be scared, so he's murdering rats. Now you giggle. Do you believe that? Because I'm calling bullshit.
I don't know. It could have happened.
I mean, maybe she saw what she saw. I'm not calling her a liar. I'm just saying it just sounds a little weird to me. Now, they have what's called the Christmas room. Now, as I mentioned, there were a lot of children. In fact, children were some of the first residents there.
Right.
Being, you know, from just, you know, downtrodden, you know, economic situation, a lot of orphans. They have a Christmas room where, of course, you know, Santa Claus would come and, you know, toys and blah, blah, blah. They say that this particular room, you can actually, you know, the toys will move by themselves and things of that nature. So, I think my dog just tried to kill herself. But, no, so the Christmas room, which I've seen some experiments and some testing done in that room, nothing happens. Nothing ever happens. But, oh, that's actually a little white lie on the BuzzFeed Unsolved. They have it's a little dog that they take, and if you touch it, it picks up like some sort of, I don't know if it's like static energy or something of that nature. So if you touch it, his little nose lights up. So they leave it in there, and they have a camera on it, and at some point, the nose lit up on a couple of occasions. That could be anything. That could really be anything. The shadow hallway is another one. This is a hallway that this is the part of this place that they say there's quite a bit of activity. It's a hallway leading to the infirmary, and the owner believes that there's a portal or vortex in one of the rooms that are going down the side of this hallway. Who knows? I didn't see any evidence. That's it. I didn't see evidence pertaining to this. So whatever. I mean, do you believe that you know, ghosts are running around these haunted places, opening portals or vortexes to hell?
Do I believe that?
Yeah.
I don't believe ghosts are doing it. No.
What's opening these portals to hell? These aren't like your natural occurring sinkholes. Maybe sinkholes are portals to hell.
I don't know if there really is. I mean, I've never seen it, so I can't. But I mean,
if anybody has pictures of
watch,
a portal to hell, and
please send it.
Yeah, please send us a picture of portals to hell.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, it's,
with some evidence to back that shit up. Yeah. I want to see something come out of it or something.
I mean, you watch these shows and stuff that are supposed to be, what word am I looking for?
Legit?
No. based on a true story.
Right, right.
Or something, and I don't know.
It turned out to be based on Dookie.
Some of them are good.
Well, here's the problem that I have, with a lot of these shows. It's on television.
That's true.
Anything can be
manipulated. They're trying to make money.
They're trying to get good ratings. They're playing on people's fear of the unknown, which is basically what we're talking about
right
here. Because, you know, the second half of this podcast, we're going to get into some of the, some science behind it. What could be causing people to possibly see ghosts? And it's actually all in your head. And I mean that literally. And there could be external forces also, not supernatural. But, you know, it's TV, okay? And as we mentioned, and I thought about it when we were at Hillview, and this is not a shot at the people that run Hillview because they were very nice. And they seemed to know a lot about the history of this place. But who's to say that things that some of these people that run these places are literally just playing off your fears, okay? Getting, you know, popular ghost hunting TV shows, ghost adventures, and all these other, you know, shows, you know, doing these things out there, bringing them notoriety, bringing more people once, you know, people like us see them, then we want to go check it out, and then we pay, you know, all this money. And so it's, yeah, like I call it a money-making scheme. It could possibly be that.
I really don't know.
I'm still going to go to places.
Right.
You know, I'll still put the money out there and go to places only because it interests me. I want to see something with my own eyes.
Right.
And then I will make a decision at that point. But yeah, we're going to talk some, you know, science and what could possibly be the causes of people, you know, seeing ghosts and having these cold chills and feeling like somebody's in the room watching. And there's actually it's pretty compelling science out there. And from what I've come across, and I've listened to lectures by, you know, parapsychologists and you know, there's the most skeptic ghost hunter in the world. I mean, he uses science, and he claims that there is zero, a big fat fucking goose egg, zero evidence that when it comes to the scientific community,
mm-hmm.
that compels them to believe that there are ghosts.
Right.
And we're talking physics, you know, or physicists and, you know.
And the sad thing, a lot of it with, like, you watch these reenactments and stuff, and some of them, like you said, are sensationalized mm-hmm. or whatever because of it being on TV or stuff. But unfortunately, a lot of these people who have these experiences and stuff, even if it's just most, I mean, it's more likely if it's just one experience or a couple,
mm-hmm.
that you're not thinking to have a video camera on you at that time.
No.
That, I mean, there has to, if people want to see how it happened,
mm-hmm.
this, you have to have,
I mean,
reenactments, and you have to have this stuff about it, which makes it kind of, but like you said, it's one of those things that seeing is believing. You,
and that's I mean, cause how I do it.
I've walked into places before and, I mean, had the feelings, the
sure.
extreme uneasy feelings mm-hmm. or where you constantly look over your shoulder because it feels like somebody's right there in the room with you or somebody's watching you from
mm-hmm.
somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's a lot of that is, you know, all in your mind. The mind is a very powerful tool, and it can play tricks on your other senses. And we're going to, you know, talk a little bit about that. But we have a very appropriate song that was picked out by Mrs. Dredd herself. And so we're going to take a quick little break, and damn dog, it's a second episode in a row that she's had to open her mouth during the
because all the attention ain't on her.
And the attention is not. So we're going to take a quick break, enjoy this little ditty from the 80s. She sees ghosts, she
mm-hmm.
sees dead people.
Yep.
Our tongue sees dead people. That's funny.
She's talking to him now.
All right, we'll be back right after this, Night of Living Dreads. Strange.
afraid of no ghosts.
We're back. Night Living Dreads. Nice song, Jerry. Nice song indeed, Mrs. Dreads, huh?
I felt it fit.
It was kind of funny and fitting, I should say. All right, now, but I got to preface this by, and as I mentioned, I've talked to, you know, people about their experiences. I've shared my own on the podcast. And, you know, so I'm not saying that I'm not calling these people liars. I'm not calling myself a liar for what I know I saw.
Right.
And nor am I calling other people who have told me their stories, which I've heard some pretty freaky stories. People being slid off the bed by an unknown force and things like that. Not calling anybody a liar.
Right.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Okay, and I'm really playing the part of skeptic, which is easy for me, because I am. So, we're going to talk about some of what science has to say about the paranormal and seeing ghosts and what could be, you know, some of the reasoning behind this. I'm going to start off with a guy by the name of Duncan McDougall. Now... Imagine going through life with that fucking name. He was a scientist who he wanted to measure, I guess it was research into what everybody knows as the soul. So at just before the point of death, he would take the dying person and place them on a scale. And at the point of death, he figured out that there was 21 grams that was lost at the point of death. This to him was clear evidence. It's the soul leaving the body. There was another, this guy was a psychologist, and he kind of rebutted with what McDougall found. And what he came up with was, at the point of death, your body increases in temperature, okay? And that's what he attributed to the 21 grams less in the overall weight of these people when they died. It was, you know, sweating. It was, you know, liquids or whatever coming out of their body because your temperature rises. And God, as hot as it is here in the insane asylum, I think I might be dying.
or at least losing 21 grams.
Yeah. And I think it was McDougal that also did the experiment with,
on the dogs.
With dogs. Okay. And he found that there was no weight loss with a dog. And this was explained by the fact that going along with the whole sweating and you know, the fluids, is that we're covered in sweat glands all over. That's why there was 21 grams lost at the point of death with a human, but not so much with a dog. Dogs don't have sweat glands. They pant. Dead panting dogs. Either that or we have soulless dogs running around on. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. So that's not really, you know, I guess, evidence towards whether or not ghosts are real. But I thought it was an important fact to take and bring up that it's not the soul leaving the body as, you know, to why you lose that weight. Now we're going to get into, as it was mentioned, a lot of things that people see, experience, mm-hmm. I being one, another one being the lady at the Blair house that we mentioned, the whole, you know, dog flying across the room incident.
Mm-hmm.
And as we mentioned, that it, sleep paralysis. And there are two demons that, and very horny ones. One's a female and one's a male, and I'm sure everybody probably knows where I'm going with this. And we're talking about the incubus and the succubus. And for those who don't know, the incubus is a demon in male form that climbs on top of women in hopes of having some sort of sex. It wants the booty. And I'm an incubus. I've done this.
I'm pretty sure you're not alone.
Then we got the succubus, which is basically the same principle, except the succubus is a female that tries to seduce males. And these are said to be the two demons in some... People think that these are the demons that, that one sees when they're in the grips of a sleep paralysis. A lot of people in sleep paralysis, they feel a pushing on their chest, a heaviness on their chest, which is, I guess, whether it's a male or female, is said to be the incubus or the succubus sitting on your chest, laying on you, trying to get all up in the guts. So a lot of things, like we mentioned... I believe the incident with the dog flying across the room, she stated she couldn't move. She thought she was awake. That may have, or may not have been the case. I you know, it's really hovering on the fence there, whether or not she was. Again, she could have been dreaming. So I think that's just, you know, explain. I don't think there's any demon there that's picking dogs up and slinging them across the room. I think that she was in a dream state, and sleep paralysis is, you know, the science behind that. Now we get into sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not much of a, you know, wasn't very good at science in school, I'm going to tell you. But I have done a little bit of research here pertaining to infrasound and ultrasound. Infrasound usually goes about, I think, 20 hertz or whatever, and lower.
No, infrasound is your high.
Is your low. Ultrasound is your high.
Ultrasound
is your high. That's high frequency sound, ultrasound. And, excuse me, the infrasound are your extremely low sound waves that, for one, like certain animals can hear that. Certain animals can hear ultrasound, such as dog whistles and bats. Yes, I'm not lying. You wrote it.
And
bats, you know, bats and dogs and, you know, certain animals can hear the ultrasound. We're kind of stuck in the middle to the things that the human ear can take and pick up. And so some, you know, forms of infrasound. Here's an example. There was a laboratory, I believe it was in England, that was said to be, you know, people would walk into this room and just have such an uneasy feeling. They would be sometimes disoriented. They would see shadow people out of the corner of your eye. And anytime you hear people say, "I seen something out of the corner of my eye," sorry. If you're not looking right at it, you know, our eyes are weird. We don't have very good sight, at, you know, when our peripheral vision is not our primary, obviously. You know, we don't see very well when we try to look at the side. When we're looking straight ahead, we don't see very well that way, and we don't see very well at far distances. It's just how our eyes work, even really good eyes. Seeing shadow people and then just feeling disoriented, and it turns out that there was these fans, these big, I guess, high-velocity fans.
It was in a factory.
Well, yeah, well, that too, but this was also in the laboratory. They use them in factories as well, and people would get the same responses. What it was doing was the fan was creating roughly, you know, around the 18 hertz, you know, which is below what we can hear. But these low frequencies affect the body.
Mm-hmm.
They can make you feel disoriented. They can, you know, even cause, you know, visual hallucinations, auditory, you know, hallucinations. You know, we hear things, we see things. And it's just the effect of these ultrasound or infrasound waves and what they're doing to our brains at
right.
that point and affecting our senses. So in the factory, as you mentioned, as well as in the laboratory, they realized once the people left the room or took the fans out, all of that stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense to me. And then there's something that I know some people can, you know, may turn around. I hope not. But I know it could probably turn around as, you know, somebody say, "Otis, you're calling me, fucking liar." And no, unidentifiable person, I am not. But we have something called confirmation bias, which in a nutshell states, well, you know, you have such a strong belief in something that you don't look at maybe the whole picture. You don't look at everything in a whole, open-minded, like.
Right.
You just look at the things that support your belief system. And this is, you know, sometimes it's a layman's way of saying this is, you know, you're seeing what you want to see. When we go to these, you know, haunted places, supposed haunted places, you know, I've said it before on the podcast. I said it when we went, you know, I'm going in as a skeptic. I'm mm-hmm. not believing shit that I hear, see, or whatever until I can really break it down.
Right.
Which I think everyone should go into it. Because I think if you go into it with such a strong belief that I'm going to see something, again, your mind's a very powerful tool.
Right.
You can pretty much, you know,
guarantee you're
think,
see
yeah,
something.
Think your way into seeing something in a sense. You know, it's so I think that plays a lot in it as well.
Right.
It is also said too that a lot of people who grew up with psychological disorders, they will also take and seem to be more susceptible
mm-hmm.
to see things. People who are very, you know, well, susceptible to suggestion. If you go into, you know, if you're told or if you watch a video and then you see something that maybe confirms your belief without any type of investigation
mm-hmm.
or that you do on your own, you automatically believe that, you know, going back to confirmation bias. So you're kind of. I don't know. I don't know how to. You know what I'm saying?
Because mm-hmm.
I don't. So you know, it's kind of like you really talk yourself into seeing what you want to see.
Right.
And trust me, I go into these places very skeptical, but I also go in wanting to see something, But I'm not going to let my want and my want to experience some of the things that I've maybe seen on videos or, you know, I don't even really watch a lot of these ghost hunters and ghost adventure and shit like that. Find a lot of that, again, very sensationalized and just out there for ratings, personally.
Right.
Even though, it's just, you know, just slightly off topic, Zach from Ghost Adventures, there was an incident where they had somebody go along with them in this place, and this guy claims that whatever little handheld equipment that he had in his hand, he said it was like the flew out of his hand by some force or whatnot. Well, Zach and his little team, they go back and look, and they were able to determine that, no, it was all being filmed, obviously,
right,
of this happening, supposedly. The guy actually threw the fucking thing. And, you know, he just did it kind of quick, you know, but then claimed, oh, no, a ghost, you know, ripped my EVP or my spirit box out of my fucking hand. No, it didn't. Okay, you're placating on people's, you know, beliefs or want to believe in the supernatural. And you know, no, bullshit artist, stop. And so I remember Taps? We used to watch that years ago. And, well, they're not on anymore.
They're getting ready to be.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
They coming back? Because they were seen to have wires and tie shit on and move shit just to make this all look, you know, legit. They were busted. So I, again, don't believe in a lot of the shit that I see on TV. Once again, I believe in the shit that I see with my own eyes.
Right.
Now, I don't think we've ever talked because we got a couple minutes left. So I thought that, once again, I would maybe share or we could share any kind of experiences that we have. I'm going to start with you, Mrs. Dreads. Have you ever had any sort of just weird, what you would think would be paranormal? And we'll see if I can debunk it. Hit me with your best shot.
Oh, geez. The only one that has stuck with me since I was little was me and my sister were staying over at a friend's house that lived right across the street from us.
Mm-hmm.
And her parents had, it was just me, my sister, and the girl there. Her parents and siblings had went, I think they'd went out to dinner.
Right.
Or something. They'd went somewhere and they were going to be home late. And we were, of course, watching scary movies and stuff. And then all of a sudden it was like there was just knocks everywhere, like on the windows and the
doors.
Was
this the one that went all the way around the house or something?
So I instantly went home.
Neighborhood
kids. I'm not saying, but I mean, it was like.
Do you have any mischievous kids running around that knew that you guys may be there alone?
No. And when my sister and her friend went out, like looked out and stuff, there was nothing there.
Mm.
And then like 20 minutes later or something.
That happened again?
No, her parents and stuff came home and everything, but.
So that's about
I don't know. Yeah. I've gotten the willies and.
That's kind of creepy.
Like you said, peripheral vision ain't the best, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, you catch glimpses of things make you wonder what it is, or
right. Do you have any logical explanation on what that could have been?
No.
The knocking around the house.
I have none.
Yeah, you have.
I honestly have no explanation on what would have caused.
And what kind of knocking was it? Was it just
banging.
Just banging.
It was banging.
Like somebody was like going on their fist. No,
yeah, it wasn't just like.
Was it a
tapping.
Brick house or like a
it was
siding?
On the windows and stuff.
Oh, just on the windows and doors.
Yeah, it was on the windows and doors. Just. And yeah, there's nobody out there.
That's interesting.
They had to see. It was probably 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning by then.
How old were you?
Oh, probably 7, 8 years old.
Okay. Well, that's certainly interesting. I blame it on kids. I blame that's about the end. But that is odd. That's one of those things that, you know, if a skeptic hears that, they'll come out and say, well, it's this, it's that, it's, you know, whatever. Was it windy out?
No.
Pretty calm night?
I mean, as far as I remember.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that is,
it was during the summer.
Quite a while ago, so yeah. That could have been the wind hitting the doors, rattling doors, rattling
windows.
No,
not
windows.
Like it. This was, no, it was banging.
Okay, all right. But, okay, interesting. Well, you know, I've had, and that's really the only one that really, you know, sticks out, or, I mean, is there any more that you, I mean,
I
other than,
think.
Like, you know, shadow people or anything? Well, you think on that. As I've I've mentioned, you know, a few of my experiences on the podcast before. I've seen, you know, shadow people shortly after my grandfather passed. I saw a shadowy figure about the same height as him. I had going on, and I was very close to my grandparents, and it traumatized me to lose them, and I was drowning my sorrows pretty regularly on a binge-type deal of, you know, lots of alcohol.
Right.
And I was very lit at this point. So I myself even blame the alcohol because, you know, I mean, you drink enough alcohol, I've read that you can...
Hallucinate. Right.
You know, it starts fucking with you. You know, I was very much, you know, the binge drinking. It was just a bad time. So kind of blame that. But what I saw was very, very fucking seemed real to me.
Right.
But it could have been... what I was putting into my body. It could have been grief. Going back to why people will, you know, a lot of times see recently deceased loved ones is because of grief.
Right.
And you want to see them again. Going back to seeing what you want to see. You want to see them again. The grief, you know, takes and plays tricks on your mind.
Right.
So... There was that, and then, you know, I'm not going to, you know, get much into the, you know, the sleep paralysis. Mm-hmm. I had pretty much the same, you know, experience other than dogs flying across the room, mm-hmm. but a black, dark, almost like mist type thing coming up over the foot of my bed. I couldn't move. Again, was I, you know, still dreaming? I felt awake. you know, I mean, I can see and relive it in my head like it just happened 10 minutes
right.
ago. So, and then let's see, here in this very house where the insane asylum is located, I saw a white apparition outlined in black, which was strange because it was nighttime, it was all the lights were out, but this black kind of stood out from the other black.
Right.
That, I was going through a bad time mentally. There was a lot of depression in my life at that point. And again, this things like that going on with a person can cause your mind to do things like that.
Right.
So not saying that everyone that sees, you know, a shadow person is, you know, crazy or depressed or whatever. But I am going to say it's quite possible that, you know, and I'm not saying that any of the accounts that people may share with us, which I hope they do, either in the comment section on the podcast page at nightliveanddreads.com or in the comment section on any of the groups that we share this podcast with. Well, I like to hear some of your stories. I'm not going to sit and just lambaste you and say, it was this, it was that. I believe that you saw what you saw. But did you see what you think you saw?
Right. That's like I was telling you about, because they always say that the place that I work is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at work and had pulled a cash register drawer out for somebody. And I was in the office the whole time it happened. I pulled the cash register out of the drawer out of the safe. I stuck it up on the counter. I didn't leave the office. The girl who was counting it, she came in, she counted it, and I had counted the safe and all these drawers earlier in the day. Just
they,
because
they were all dead on.
Right, they were all dead on, and I was the only one to get in the safe, so I knew that nothing was being handled unless I was the one handling it.
Right.
So I gave her drawer and stuff. She counted it. And she told me that she was $4 short. I was like, that's strange, just because I knew I had counted it. So I told her to count it again. She counted it again. She said, it's $4 short. So I was like, well, let me count it. So I counted it, and lo and behold, it was $4 short. Well, I was like, all right. So I went through and I counted everything else, and my backup money was like a dollar something over. So I was like, you know what? I really don't have time to find out where this $4 is right this second. I'm going to take the drawer, put it in back drive and stuff so she can do her thing. I was like, I'll worry about that later. I pick her, she picks her drawer up off of the desk, and there's four $1 bills underneath the drawer.
Interesting.
Now, mind you, like I said, all I did was take the drawer out of the safe and stick it on the counter. She never once lifted the register up. I was sitting right there next to her when she counted it. So I would have seen if she did anything.
Because when you told me this, you know, again, being the skeptic that I am, not saying you were lying about it all, but I'm like, you know, is this person one to want to, you know, steal money? I was trying to hide it. But then I get to thinking, what the fuck are you going to buy with $4?
Right.
I mean, if she smoked, you couldn't buy a pack of cigarettes. You said that she's, you know, a younger girl. She's more healthy. She's out jogging and shit, and, you know,
she's
really
sports
and so she's, you know. But I mean, what the hell are you going to do with $4? If somebody's going to steal something out of a register, you would think it would be something like, you know, a 20, or something of that nature. So that was kind of interesting.
And it would have been a little bit different too if I would have got up and walked out of the office, or if
right.
But no, I was right there the whole time. All I did was take the drawer out, set it on the desk.
Right.
No money was touched until she was counting it.
Right.
And why would she slip $4 bills up underneath?
Yeah. She's trying to make you believe the place is haunted.
I don't know.
I think she's antagonizing your belief system.
I mean, and other people have had little things happen in there. Our security alarm will get tripped quite a bit.
Electrical. Just like lights flickering on and off. There's a funny meme that our buddy Dominic likes to post and tag me in. And that's, you know, the light flickers. It's, you know, 1% electrical issues, 99% a fucking ghost. You know, which...
I'm saying. People have had...
We've had that happen here. The lights go on and off, and or just
like
go off and then come back on.
Yeah,
out in the living room, yeah. But, again, I attributed that to electrical. This is an old house, and the wiring in this place is horrible. So that's what I attributed that to. I want to mention one more thing before we get out, because I hear the white coats coming down the hallway. This kind of goes back to what science has, uncovered, and how the brain, with certain waves, I guess electromagnetic waves, and what they can do to certain parts of the brain, the God helmet. And you know you can buy one of these?
Yeah.
God helmet for sale. The God helmet was an experiment apparatus originally called the Corren helmet, or the Corren octopus, after its inventor Stanley Corren. It was developed by Corren and neuroscientist Michael Persinger to study creativity, religious experience, and the effects of subtle stimulation of the temporal lobes. Now, reports by participants of a sensed presence. So they put these on, and they did a big case study on this. And when they put these on and their temporal lobes were stimulated, they found that the people would all of a sudden, you know, they would see shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
They would feel, even if they didn't see anything, they would feel like something was in the room. So stimulation of certain parts of the brain can do this. Now, it got a lot of publicity after this, you know, TV series and things like that. The device has been used in Persinger's research in the field of neurotheology, the study of purported neurocorrelations of religion and spirituality. That's why they call it the God helmet, because they say that you know, stimulating this temporal lobe, people would see, like I said, shadow people, and as well as God. Yeah, you can see fucking God with this helmet on.
Right.
Interesting. but what it was it says the apparatus placed on the head of an experiment subject generates very weak magnetic fields that Persinger refers to as complex. Like other neurostimulators, with low-intensity magnetic fields, these fields are approximately as strong as those generated by a landline telephone handset or an ordinary hairdryer, but far weaker than that of an ordinary refrigerator magnet and approximately a million times weaker than the transcranial magnetic stimulation. So I thought that was interesting that, you know, they found that stimulating with low magnetic waves that, you know, you could see things. You could, feel dread. You could feel the presence of something that, you know, wasn't otherwise there.
Right.
So that's just another little tidbit of science that I came across. Again, I'm not calling anybody, a liar who has, you know, had these, has experienced something that they would call supernatural or, paranormal, whatever. But I'm just a skeptic, and I'm not going to debate you on what you saw. I wasn't there.
Right.
Just like I wouldn't expect anybody to debate me on what I saw. I'm just looking at it from what I saw and what maybe other people see and tell us, which I hope you do. Again, leave them in the comments. I think there just may be another reason that you saw or that you were hallucinating a little bit.
Right.
So, all right, white coats are getting close, Mrs. Dreads. It's time to, they're going to take us back to our cell. And I'm going to go have me a big bowl of sleep paralysis.
Oh, my God.
I have not experienced that since I was about 8 or 9. They said normally a lot of people don't after, a young age. It's more common with those younger people, although adults do experience it. 8%, as I mentioned. So, all right, we're going to get the hell out of here. Thank you, Mrs. Dreads.
You're welcome.
And we will be back next Sunday. Brand new episode. This has been episode 34. And we're getting up there. We're getting old.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Hope you guys enjoyed this. Again, share your ghost stories, your supernatural paranormal experiences with us over there at nightlivingdreads.com. You can go right on the podcast page where this podcast will be. There's a discuss chat feature there at the bottom. Jot them down there. Jot them down wherever you see this. And please, if you like the podcast, share it far and wide. We'll see you next week.
Things no one knows. We're going to die.